Hello and welcome to Cruisin' for a Reviewsin', the podcast where I get a friend to watch a Tom Cruise movie they've never seen before and then review it with me. I am your host, Cara Westworth, and today I am joined by Beck.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you for joining me today, Beck.
Oh, look, anything involving race cars, I'll be there.
Yes, we are reviewing a very fun Tom Cruise-y movie. It is called Days of Thunder, and it was made in 1990, directed by Tony Scott, and it is non-stop car racing.
It is quite a time.
Yes, so I asked you specifically to do this movie because you love Zimmy cars.
I sure do. Anything with an engine and wheels, I'm ready to sign up on the spot and get involved.
Nice.
So I had no hesitation whatsoever, despite not really being much of a Tom Cruise fan, or I'm actually even one of those boring people that doesn't really watch too many movies. So if you say, have you seen this? I'll probably say no. No, haven't seen anything.
Well, it worked to my advantage.
It sure did.
Because you've just been to our local equivalent, I guess, which is Bathurst.
Yes. Yes, I have. And there actually were a couple of NASCAR drivers as wildcards.
Really?
Yes. A couple of guys came over. I think they're associated with Andretti, which is a big name in NASCAR. And they came over as wildcards and just, of course, lost their mind, as most international drivers do when they come to Bathurst.
Okay. So car-wise, like, what are similarities between NASCAR and what we do here in Australia?
Look, it's, I guess, probably the biggest similarity would be the car type. So NASCAR is a stock car, which means it's all enclosed, as opposed to an open wheel like F1.
Which is like Indy.
Yeah.
Yep.
So that's probably, I guess, where the similarities really end.
And then it's drive around some sort of circular.
Well, no, there's a lot more turns in our racetrack. So there's a bit of a pop culture thing with NASCAR that they only turn left. All of their racetracks are oval.
Mm.
And it's a whole thing like, oh, we just drive fast and turn left sometimes. It's great. So a little bit different. We have a few more twists and turns
okay.
in our tracks.
Because they were talking this movie about like that dangerous fourth turn. How is it dangerous? Is it just that people crash there? Like,
well, it could be the camber. It could be how you might have seen the racetrack goes up.
Yep.
So you're on a bit of an angle, which helps to propel you around the corner. So the corner might be
so
tight.
So the actual surface. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's good background because I know I love driving cars. I like the idea of being a stunt car driver.
Yeah.
I just don't know that much about racing them. So thank you for that.
Oh, you're
that's
welcome.
That's really good to know. Anyway, let's talk about this movie, Days of Thunder. Since you haven't seen it before, I would like to know what were your first impressions?
Look, opening scenes where you see people with their campers and, you know, they're in the middle of the track and everyone's just hanging out, having a good time with their barbecues, immediately took me to being at Bathurst myself. I camped there during the race. I'm like full Bogan Styles in my tent and my fire. And I just thought, yes, I am in for a good time with race cars.
Yeah. I've always wondered, because you see any racing movies, and I haven't seen a lot. I keep going back to Cars, like the Disney Pixar movie, which I don't think represents.
I mean, look, everyone's a fan of Lightning McQueen.
Yeah.
But, yeah, there's no talking cars, which is unfortunate.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, with big creepy eyes in the windshields. Yeah, I always wondered, like, is that what people do? Is that people still what people do? Like, they camp, but obviously it is. Like,
kind of, yeah. So there are some racetracks where you can do that. Most racetracks are just, you know, come and sit in a grandstand or
yeah.
go trackside or those sorts of things. But, yeah, it's still definitely a thing.
Fascinating. So, yeah, 1990. So this movie is a, like, peak 1990, in my opinion, the music, the soundtrack. Like,
yeah.
I didn't pick any actual songs, but there was, like, some really good wailing guitars
yeah.
and things yeah. at all the right cues, which is like, is he going to win the race? Whoa, he did.
Wow, amazing.
Oh, he's got a rival. How is he going to beat this?
Oh, the soundtrack will tell me.
Thanks, soundtrack. So let's, I guess, talk about the plot. It's not a terribly deep plot.
No.
I guess we'll get out the way that this film is known as Top Gun, but with cars.
Mm.
And when I first read that, I resented that. But as I was watching it, this is my second time watching this movie, I was like, oh, it really is.
Yeah.
And there was apparently like a thing when this movie came out that there was like a really set Tom Cruise picture, which was this young cocky guy is really good at something, but he keeps fucking up because he's too arrogant. And this older guy who's been there. Was it? So, yeah, it was like The Color of Money is the other one. So it definitely conformed to all of those things. Mm. I don't think it's to its detriment. I think that was just a a thing for the 80s.
Yeah, and it was just a style at the time.
Yeah, just cocky dudes learning lessons and having women give them some moral lessons, I guess, while the old man gives them some real life advice. Yeah. So we meet Tom Cruise's character. It's Cole Trickle. He I think he was like racing Formula One cars.
I think he was doing open wheelers, so he might have been at Indy. So Indianapolis 500 is kind of often associated with Daytona, but Indianapolis or the Indy 500 is the open wheel cars.
Yeah.
As opposed to stock cars.
Do we have Indy here? Did we have Indy here?
We had the Gold Coast Indy.
Yeah.
So we did have open wheel cars race.
Yeah.
I think probably 10 years ago that might have stopped.
Really?
Everything kind of got changed. Look, this is probably a little controversial, but a lot of race car fans attribute Anna Bligh, aka Nana Bligh, to ruining all their fun with health and safety and et cetera.
Like, I never went to one, but I used to, like, every time I went to the surfers after the minute, I found it kind of exciting. Like, you'd see all the lines and everything and all the stuff was still set up. You're like, whoa, cars race around here. I'm a racing car guy.
100% every time I go to the Gold Coast at around this time of year. So they just had the race, not this weekend, last weekend. Always I have to drive through and go, yes, I am a race car driver.
Watch beep, out, beep. Run. So, but he is coming to do NASCAR because I was trying to work out the reason. Basically, he was like, all stock cars are the same. So if I'm good at them, I'll be good at the other car.
Yeah.
I'm arrogant. Yes. Look at me. And everyone's furious. John C. Reilly's character is like a local car dealer or something, and he wants to.
That was the car dealer was Tim. John C. Reilly was one of the pit crew.
Not John C. Reilly. Who's the other one?
Randy Quaid.
Randy Quaid. Yeah. Sorry. Oh, this has a lot of good acting, but very same, similar looking white men in this movie.
This is a 100% whitewashed male cinematic.
I think we noticed the one person of color. Yes. We're like, whoa, there's one. Yes.
Oh, almost at the end of the film. We had a little bit of diversity, but there was a lot of...
It's also three women, I think, in the whole...
Yeah.
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 Oh, well, 1990, hey.
What a good time.
He's Tim, the car dealer, he's like, I'm going to do this. And he gets Harry, who is played by Robert Duvall, to build cars. He's like an old hat and he makes the best cars, but hasn't been doing it for a while because he's too busy farming. And they talk him into making a car and they're like, I found a driver, and it is Tom Cruise's character, Cole Trickle, and he makes a dramatic entrance on a motorbike. Oh. And everyone's like, who is this renegade? I hate him. That's off real good for him.
Yeah.
They test him out on the racetrack and he's real fast, even though he has no idea about the cars. Like, apparently he doesn't know any terminology and he's...
No idea.
Yeah. So
just here to steer.
Is that what he says?
No, but that's just something I thought was cool.
That's amazing. Oh my god, let's put that.
That's my catchphrase.
So we quickly establish that his rival is going to be Michael Rooker's character, and you know Michael Rooker from Guardians of the Galaxy and Walking Dead. That's how I know him. He is Rowdy Burns. I'm like, what are these names?
So rowdy.
Like, I know a lot of these are based loosely on actual NASCAR races and everything, but not many of them had names as ridiculous as, like,
Rowdy.
Cole.
Well, there is a trickle. Which, I mean, Cole Trickle is just a delightful name as it is. But in NASCAR, in real life, there's a gentleman named Dick Trickle.
What? No. Oh, no. That's not a real name.
Yes, it is.
Oh, no.
Oh, it's an amazing situation, to be honest.
Wow. Imagine not only, like, being a parent, I'm like, Richard Trickle.
Yeah.
That's a good name.
Yeah. Like, we can't go wrong with Richard Trickle.
No one's going to make something rude out of that.
No, no way.
Well, maybe they hated that child and were like, here you go.
Suck
you
in.
Prick. So he's Rowdy Burns is the rival. He is very, very good at racing and he is not at all impressed by old mate coming in cocky and arrogant. So that establishes their rivalry really quickly. So they got to train up Cole to be a good race car driver. And that one of my favorite lines was when he kept like getting out of the car and like getting into fist fights with them and they're like, oh, we can't change your tires because we're busy eating ice cream.
He gets so mad.
He gets so mad.
He's so mad.
I'm like, oh, give me a fucking ice cream. One of them says, hey, we need to be better. We look like a monkey fucking a football out there.
Which is quite a scene to set, to be honest. And I can't help but imagine what that looks like. Yeah. I just, what kind of football though? Do we need to get into specifics?
Yeah.
And is it an American football?
Is it a big, yeah, some sort of large primates? Oh, who knows? But I imagine that's not a good thing.
No. Look, fundamentally, it's not something you want to look like.
So Colrin wins his first race by being duped by Harry.
Yeah.
So someone who doesn't know much about racing, what I gathered was not many people go on the outside lane because, I mean, I'm trying to think of it as someone who's driving, like it's harder, you got more of a hard turn.
Yeah.
Because my mom, learning to drive, my mum always said, like, always try and find the straight line through. So, yeah. So that's as far as I know about car racing. So he tricks him into actually doing this thing that no one does, which is take the outside lane to get around everyone.
Yeah.
And he's like, I put special tyres on you, you're going to be fine.
Yeah.
And then it turns out he didn't. It was like, I was just tricking you because I knew you wouldn't do it otherwise.
It's just a classic stitch up.
Yeah. Yeah, you could have died, but you
hey,
didn't.
You know.
Men and racing cars, wow. He wins. But everyone's like, yeah, you can do it. You're finally there. And there's some great music. There was some really good music. So I was like, yeah. Yeah, so they were all really excited. And there was like some deeping meaningfuls on the bus thing that's transporting him around.
Yeah. Which, the transporter is a technical term.
Oh,
yes.
Wow. Mm. I only know that from also from Cars, where the truck's also alive.
It's a good entry level film, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah, so they're on the thing having some deeping meaningfuls, like apparently Cole's dad, he was racing for his dad and his dad did some really dodgy stuff, yeah, and that's why he found himself without a car at all. And made his way over to Harry and everything. And then what I believe is the worst scene in the movie happens. They're pulled over. I don't know how they planned this because it seems like they were real cops. They were pulled over by what looks like real cops, except they had a plant, which was a sexy hot lady.
Oh, yeah.
Who they're like, you're getting arrested because you're transporting liquor over state lines. And like, but we're just drinking it. And they're like, doesn't matter. And so they're all against the side of the transport. Mm. And suddenly this lady cop is being extra aggressive with Cole. And it turns out she's a planted stripper.
Yeah, yeah.
And
after that concealed weapon.
Yeah, and she like grabs his dick through his jeans. I'm like, sexual assault.
Yeah, yeah. Uncomfortable.
Yeah, like maybe he doesn't want his dick grabbed by a complete stranger, especially like someone in a position of power, which is a cop.
Yeah.
Anyway, these are things we've learned in the last, nearly 30 years since this movie came out, I suppose. I don't know. It's some sort of hazing thing,
Look, it's definitely original, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. The new guy. Stitch him up. Let's just take him for a ride.
Let's make him deeply uncomfortable.
Yes.
All for our own hilarity.
Yes. And now he's one of us. Yay!
He works well. He laughs a lot, so I guess that was fun. Maybe the laughs are covering up the hidden angst that he was feeling inside. Yeah. We don't know. So some more stuff happens, some more racing, but then tragedy strikes. And actually, can you explain, like, from someone who knows about racing, like, if someone – so there's a big crash, and what happens when there's a big crash? Like, do normally you just got to keep driving and hope the guy who's telling you what to do can direct you properly or
– Well, I mean, look, my experience with NASCAR specifically is reasonably limited, but in general, if there's a big situation, you get the safety car. FYI, the yellow flags that we saw come out, that's indication of a safety car coming. Mm. Or something's up ahead, you should probably slow down and not go full pelt through the smoke. And potentially hit someone else. Usually a safety car will come out and gather the field, regroup everyone, and then slowly drive around a track until the crash is cleared or whatever the obstruction is.
Yeah.
Generally, they don't have – I mean, they do have guys in the ear and they're saying, look, there's something ahead, chill out, don't hit the go pedal. So this is a bit of, I guess, entertainment.
Okay, so because he kind of told him a to bit of just dramatics. Bang it through.
Yeah. And if in did. Doubt, power out is what I say. All the time.
Oh, wow. So, Michael Rooker's character, Rowdy, zooms through.
Yeah.
But then hits something and goes spinning. And Cole comes not far behind him and they actually collide.
Yeah.
And they both, airlifted out there because it's actually quite serious. Like, they both had head injuries and it's a bad time. And that's where we meet the new next character, which is, I just wrote her name down, Dr. Claire Lewinky. Lewicki?
Lewicki.
Lewicki.
Yeah.
That's played by Nicole Kidman. So a tiny bit of trivia. This is where Nicole Kidman and Tom Cruise met, and Tom Cruise apparently handpicked her.
Yeah, so he'd seen her in another film,
Dead Calm, which is a great movie.
And was like, "Hey, guess what? I'm into it.
I'm into that sexy babe. Put her in my movie," and they did.
Let's roll.
So she is a neurosurgeon, which is not super believable because she's only 23 years old in this movie. But she doesn't look. I guess she doesn't look super young. Like she, Nicole Kidman kind of has that look of someone who is kind of ageless and yet not young. I don't know.
She's believable in any
situation. Yeah, so she's treating him. He's just really only has a concussion, which his brain swelled a bit, so he couldn't see. So he was panicking that he lost his vision. But no, it was just a big old swollen brain.
Yeah.
And she is reluctant for him to go back to racing, but, you know, men be men. And
they sure do.
Don't listen to her.
But I think this section of the movie produced possibly the cutest, just most wholesome thing I've ever seen in my life, which is where, so Tom's in his little MRI machine. I don't know the technical term.
Yeah.
He's in there getting his scan and he's a little bit scared because he can't see. And when you're in one of those machines, they are loud.
They are fucking loud. I've had to have a few of those, yeah.
And he's like, "Can someone please just talk to me?" And I was like, okay, dramatic. But then he's like, "I got a guy that talks to me. I can't see him, but he talks to me." And I was just like, ah.
He just needs someone to talk him through this scary, scary thing.
Let Harry press the button. Yeah. Let him press the button and talk to his guy.
So, yeah. That was really sweet. And he looked very, like, sort of, like, angelic because there was, like, a light around him and he's beautiful.
Beautifully framed.
Yes. Yeah. Very nice. So he's pretty much okay. And then, like, when he's almost ready to leave, he finally, because he hasn't been able to see most of this time and hasn't had much interaction with his actual doctor, when Nicole Kidman comes out, they're like, "Here's Dr. Lewicki, your doctor." And he's like, "Huh, you've tricked me once before with your female sexy lady." And so he basically sexually assaults her. And she's like, "I need to look in your eyes." And he's like, "You sure you're not looking for this?" And like grabs her hand and puts on his dick.
Yeah.
And
smooth.
Yeah, real smooth.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, but also like the guys were like, "It really is your doctor." So I kind of don't blame him for like.
Yeah.
Not because, yeah.
Yeah.
Fool me once. Yeah, so it's after a little bit of sexual assault, but he continues to woo her, which is, I'm like, remember that time you forced your hand on my hand onto your dick? Yeah, I don't really want to date you, hey.
I feel like she must have reasonably low standards to accept that that's just a bizarre way of flirting.
Well, they are the hospital at Daytona.
Oh, God, yeah, okay.
So that was probably like
the best
nothing.
Encounter she's ever had.
Like she hasn't been actually groped So maybe, she's like, wow, this guy is so charming. All he did was put his hand on his dick. What a gentleman. They get to leave. Michael Rooker's character is actually a bit worse off, but he's also another stubborn man and doesn't really want to do anything about it. But this is actually possibly the best scene in the movie because I watched it and I'm like, holy shit. So there's a bit where, you know, when you're in hospital, you have to be wheelchaired out, especially if you've had something like brain surgery and everything. Yep. Cole and Rowdy are next to each other, being wheeled out, and they're like furious because they're still rivals.
Just steaming.
Just steaming, like, "I don't want to be next to him. Like, we have to stay in your wheelchair." So they actually like pushing the wheels themselves and like actually escape the nurses pushing them.
Yeah.
And then they have a wheelchair race just like The Simpsons. Oh no, it was home. Yeah, it was Homer and Jasper. So when Homer's in the old folks' home.
And that race car driver instinct just takes over.
And then knocking people over. It was so good. It was like, oh my God. So now I was like watching this. I'm like, oh, that's a Simpsons reference. I didn't actually realize where that was from. That was hilarious.
Well, that's just my life. Because I watch so few movies, I'm just like, oh, The Simpsons. They're so original and hilarious. And then I go back and watch the old films and I go,
okay. There's a lot.
There's another angle to this hilarity.
All right, so they're out. They're not allowed to race. So the medical opinion was you're not allowed to race again until you've had your last physical in a week. And when Cole gets his physical, it gets real physical and they fuck afterwards.
They are, look, more power to a female character having control, but she was aggressive.
Yeah.
Like,
well,
he was
like, "Why are you ignoring me?" And she's like, "I'm not ignoring you. I give the best physical of my life." And like,
pushed him against the wall.
Like, yeah, go, yeah, well, go, girl.
Get him on the ground.
And then they do it. Yeah. And now they're together.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
That's exciting. They're finally cleared kind of thing for, actually, they're not even cleared for racing. Like, you got to wait a week for your next physical. And then the head of racing, I guess.
Yeah, the NASCAR boss.
Yeah, he's like, "You two fucking ram each other or do anything ever again.
Yeah, you're black flagged.
Get out of here forever.
And being black flagged is quite, you're out. You're out of here, pal.
Wow.
Yeah. Often.
And what do you do? Like, if you can't race anymore, you're like, I literally have nothing else I can do.
Yeah.
It's like someone said to me, you can't be a nail tech anymore. I'm like, okay, I guess I'm homeless then. I don't know.
I have no backup plan.
Oh, no, I do, but look, I get it. If you put everything into racing, I imagine that would be really bad. So through that, they end up kind of becoming friends. Like, they're like, well, we can't hate each other anymore, so I guess we're best mates.
There's some kind of uneasy sort of friendship situation worked out.
Yeah.
In a very short space of time.
Yeah, really quickly. Mm. Like, all of a sudden, they're at Rowdy's place with his wife and, like, having a nice time. Where they discover he is kind of acting really weird and getting seasick when he normally doesn't, and turns out he's got like a burst blood vessel and is going to die.
Needs brain surgery pretty quickly.
So he can't race anymore.
Oh no.
Yeah, which is, that's a bummer.
And of course they do that whole sort of, you know, with Nicole Kidman's character, they're like, oh, look, sweetie, can you get your boss?
Oh yeah, they do that. Oh, and she's like, yeah, I talked to my boss. They agree.
Yeah,
so
we think the same.
7,000 dicks. Does the fork so she leaves. I wish. Yeah, so because actually Rowdy's actually says, like, it's because my doctor's a woman, that's why I can't race. I'd be back out there already if she wasn't a woman.
Yeah, like, I'd be out having an aneurysm and dying on the track. That's the way I want to go.
Yeah. Women making me live. Wah. What a pack of bitches. Yes, very, that was nice, wasn't it?
Sure was.
Although she has because she's a good character. Like, she's doing all right as much as she can in that very sexist world of car racing.
Yeah.
But she has a big go at Cole at one point. And what did she say? She says, control is an illusion, you infantile maniac. Yes, tell him.
Yeah, big man, baby.
Yeah. Because, like, he won't go when Rowdy's in the hospital. He won't go because he's like, I don't want to know, confront my own mortality and blah, blah, blah. And, like, grow up, you big baby.
Yeah.
Yeah. So now that he can't race, Rowdy can't race anymore. He's like, please, will you race my car for me so I can keep my sponsors? Oh, yeah. Why was Cole kicked out?
So when Cole and Rowdy had the big crash, they were both out.
Yeah.
And so they got replacement Russ Wheeler in to do.
Oh, so Russ was Cole's
replacement.
Replacement.
It was his stand-in. So he did the steering for a while.
Yeah.
And then the team owner, Tim, was just so super stoked by Russ's abilities that he then went and bought a second car. And so he was a two-team owner, which is unusual. Usually you've got one team and then maybe you've got two cars in that. But he's made the point of separating them and different sponsors. So Russ Wheel is a jerk, just straight up.
Yeah, and like a further comparison to, because it's Cary Elwes who plays him. I think that's how you pronounce his name. I've never been good at that. Love him as an actor, but never can pronounce that name. So yeah, he's a real jerk, but he looks just like Val Kilmer in Top Gun.
Yeah, he's got the blonde hair. He's got that tiny circular tiny sunglasses. And he's just straight up mean.
He's a big mean jerk. Yeah. And so he becomes the new villain, which is, I guess, different to
He takes the place Top of
Gun.
Rowdy.
Yeah, he takes the place of Rowdy. So in Top Gun, it's the Iceman, Val Kilmer's character, who is rivals with Tom Cruise.
Mm.
And then they kind of have a bit of a shaky friendship kind of thing by the end. So they're just chucking another villain and he just stays the villain the whole time.
Yeah.
Because he has dodgy, tiny glasses.
He does.
Cannot trust him.
So that's how Cole loses his job because.
I couldn't work that out because I was furiously writing notes, so I think I missed that.
So Russ is being a jerk the whole time.
Yeah.
He's doing a lot of shunting. He's doing a lot of pushing. And there is an iconic line, rubbing is racing, 100%, get involved, have some fun. But Russ just takes it to another level, which is supported by team owner Tim.
Yeah.
And then Harry is going, mate, what are you doing? Mm. This is not on the level.
Jerk behavior. And you're just trashing the cars. Like, imagine.
Which is bizarre because he owns both of the teams.
It's bizarre. Yeah.
So he just lets it go and he's like, well, NASCAR's got my back, so don't worry about it, pal.
Mm.
And eventually Cole just cracks it.
So that's why he's like, well, I'm going to race Rowdy instead, right?
So there's the race is finished.
Yeah.
Russ has won his first race and everyone's like, yay, this is so great. Meanwhile, Cole's team are going, well, hang on, you've cheated basically for the whole race. So Cole comes into the pits. He's got two flat tyres from an earlier incident with Russ, which means he didn't finish the race at all.
Oh, yeah.
He comes into pits and says to his crew, give me two new tyres. And they're going, well, why? The race is finished. We don't really need to. And he's like, just give me my tyres, man. So he gets his tyres, sees Russ coming up around that left turn and just punches it. straight into the back of Russ's car and wrecks both of them. Tim freaks out. He's going, he wrecked my cars. That's my very bad impression of Tim. And everyone's fired.
That's what happens. Okay. Yeah. I'm so glad you're here to clarify these things for me, because I'm watching him like, cars is racing. Yes. Yeah. I don't understand. I have no idea what's going on.
It just ties in. So currently in supercars, there's a lot of talk about team orders and favouring one driver over another, and advantages and making calls that disadvantage other teams. And I thought, here we go again, guys.
Wow. Because like reading through some of this, like I know a lot of the things that happen, like certain dramatic moments in this movie were actually based on things that really happened in the world of NASCAR. But I didn't really think that it was all like, this was all reasonably legit and things that happened.
There's a lot of testosterone going on. And it's not just the engines that get fired up.
Oh, yeah. Oh, like when he like fangs it and puts the and over revs the engine.
Yeah,
and
so
blows
he gets
up
to 9,000 RPM, which is pretty hectic. Like that's
a
full red line.
I think my car
only
goes to like 100 or something. Yeah.
And so he's been told time and again, don't over rev the engine because you'll blow it. And he's just gone, well, do you know what? I'm having a bad time. I'm going to blow the engine. Mm. I have never seen an engine blow in such a spectacular fashion. Mm. Like I'm pretty sure they shoved some fireworks in that thing.
So have you seen engines blow?
Yeah, they're not that. They just, I don't know, a bit of black smoke, a bit of noise.
Yeah.
But they don't have sparklers and other things going
on. Well, if I was doing a race and I saw an engine blow and it didn't look like that, I'd be like, Marnie, back. Yeah, so I guess we can sum up the ending pretty easily in that Cole races as Rowdy.
Mm-hmm.
And he wins the fucking race because he really shits all over Russ.
Yeah.
Because Russ is a giant turd who deserves every bad thing that happens to him.
Pretty much, yeah.
And there's like they do the outside. He just goes to the outside thing, but Russ is like on him. And so he goes meow into the inner and
just confuses him.
Yeah.
Russ thinks he's got his number and he's like, look, Cole does the same thing every time. He takes the outside line. I'll block him. It'll be great.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Cole has gone, do you know what? I'm going to mix it up. This is for Harry. And wins the race.
Wins the race. And Russ is like, no. You didn't actually see that, but I assume he was immediately fired and died of misery. Good. Take that. sorry, I wrote my notes. Yay, he won. Fuck you, Russ Wheeler.
Get in the bin.
And then, like, Cole and Harry have their thing, like, ribbing each other. You won. You helped me. But also, we're suddenly having a race for some reason. And then, so that's the only time that Tom Cruise runs this movie. And then there's like a freeze frame of their mid-run. And it is wonderful.
It is a time. And I've got to say, that's quite a maniacal running situation because Tom's face was just Joker levels.
Yeah.
Which might be a bit dramatic,
like,
but wow.
His run's really like tight and together. And this one, he's like arms everywhere. Like, it was great. Yeah. And that's basically Days of Thunder. Actually, that it took more than I thought it would be to go through that plot, but we had a sort of a semi-expert person to actually talk me through things. I do not know at all. I kind of, watching this movie, I'm kind of like, I would like to go to just one NASCAR race in the US. Like, I reckon, not so much for the car racing, because I guess I haven't been into car racing up until this point. I don't know if I'm going to start.
Yeah.
But like people watching and everything, I feel like it would be.
It's like most things. It's mostly about the atmosphere.
Yeah.
To be honest. Yeah. Like, I love race cars, but even I, at some point, look, when I go to Bathurst is a long race. It's 1,000 kilometres, 161 laps.
Holy shit.
Around about 7 hours, give or take, a few safety cars. So there are bits in the middle where I go, okay, well, I could probably be literally anywhere else right now, but hey, that's a big fat engine making some noise. I'm into it. So when you go to places, the atmosphere does take over. It's like if you go to a concert, you go, I like the band, but that was amazing.
Yeah.
Because of, everyone around you.
That's true. That's to raise a good point. Well, I probably at some point will go to a NASCAR race. What would be the biggest one? I
really want Daytona's to go to Daytona. The biggest.
Where's Daytona?
Florida.
Oh, I really want to go to Florida anyway. Just FYI, Tom Cruise lives in Florida now.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know how close Daytona is to Tampa, but I'm going to find out,
convenient.
I guess.
Convenient. I'm going to Google it, though, because I'm a little concerned that I've just said the wrong thing.
I have a feeling it is. I would Google it, but I'm not going
to. The problem is every time I say Daytona, I just hear the soundtrack to the arcade game.
Yeah, that has it in my own bar and that I hear all the time.
Yeah. So I get a bit confused and lost and just want to be playing the game.
Yeah, that's true. Mm. It's a good game. It's one of my favorite games in my own bar. So,
Rubbin's racing.
Yeah. So that is Days of Thunder wrapped up. Let's talk about Tom Cruise-isms. We did just discuss running, which is one of my favorite Tom Cruise-isms. Very little running in this movie.
Yeah.
Just at the end, he's mostly just on vehicles the entire time. Very little. He's not in a car, he's on a motorbike, or he's racing a wheelchair.
Or in a boat.
Or in a
There was a token boat.
I'm like, now they just need to complete the trifecta. It's Top Gun, Days of Thunder, and some sort of boat movie.
Yes.
That would be so good. Oh, we missed the part where the two rivals that become friends, before they become friends, they have to go to dinner to show that they're willing to be friendly, and they're like, but you have to drive there together, and they hire like high cars.
They get
and
another
race them and smash them, which apparently two guys did. In the 50s,
you know, a lot more was
things
accepted.
Things were different then.
Sure were.
You can just smash cars and like, those boys.
Oh.
Wow. That would be really fun though.
Look, if I had millions of dollars, I'd probably do something dumb like that.
Yeah.
To be honest.
I wouldn't try and endanger people like they did. But
take it to the track, everyone.
Yeah, take it to the track.
Take it to the track.
Other Tom Cruise-ism stunts. So I just naturally assumed that Tom Cruise, because Tom Cruise can drive a racing car, any racing car.
Yeah.
I imagine he learned for this movie, but he, for insurance reasons,
wasn't allowed.
Yeah.
And honestly, that would have just, I would have walked away from the movie.
If Tom Cruise.
If I was Tom Cruise and they said to me, oh, look, you can't drive, mate.
Yeah.
I'd say I would pull that card and say, do you know who I am?
Yeah, exactly. Like, I guess he was just still at that point where he was one of the biggest actors in the world, but he isn't Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
So I think that's why he started his own production company, was so that he'd be like, I know maybe it was from one of the Mission Impossibles where he fired his insurer and was like, eat shit, I'm going to do what I want.
Yeah.
So that's why he does all his own stunts now. So, yeah, they actually had a NASCAR driver.
They did,
be his stunt driver in that. Which was a little bit disappointing for Tom Cruise.
For sure.
He can drive race cars now. I remember I saw a video of him driving one of the open wheel ones. I'm like, cool.
Yeah.
I've always wanted to drive one of those just because they look weird.
It would be terrifying, though. You are so close to the road.
Yeah.
And there's really not much between you and the wall.
Do you think people die racing those?
Yeah.
Oh, maybe I don't want to. I'll just putt around. Maybe I'll just get a go-kart.
But that's just racing in general. You're putting your life on the line a little bit.
Yeah.
Going fast in...
in cars that aren't designed.
Well, kind of. I mean, there was one scene where... Well, actually, I think it was the big scene where Cole ran into Rowdy.
Yeah.
After his vision was obscured by all the smoke and he just flipped. And you see all the parts, all the panels
like it just
coming
all
off.
Came off.
Well, most cars, in supercars, they're built that way. That's what they're designed to do. So the chassis stays complete, hopefully, to protect the driver and everyone in there. But the panels, who cares? Get out of here.
Yeah. It's probably better they get out of here. Yeah. So they probably go inwards and cause more damage.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man. I like the idea of racing cars, but this is starting to put me off it, hey? Other Tom Cruise-isms are like, you know, his facial expressions and things like that. He does these like little cute coy thing when he's like seducing Nicole Kidman. And he's like doing the...
Yeah.
Like the sweet and low
sweet
packets.
Sweet and low sugar packets.
Like, get them out of my vagina. Not where they belong.
No.
But she's impressed by that, I guess.
Yeah.
He doesn't do his big, happy, laughing, obnoxious Tom Cruise.
No. He does
Tom
a couple of his grins, I noticed. Mm. There were a few situations.
But we are in early days.
Yes.
Yeah, Tom Cruise going full Tom Cruise. So
he's still forming.
Yes, he is. That's why that weird run.
Yeah.
He hadn't perfected that yet.
No.
Yeah, I think that's probably all I can think of for sort of Tom Cruise-ism. I guess the other main Tom Cruise-ism, and it's not a thing anymore. Like when we think of Tom Cruise now, you think of does his own stunts, does lots of sci-fi and action movies. But up until this point, it was actually Tom Cruise-ism was, like I said before, the Tom Cruise picture where he is, you know, this young cocky guy who needs to be taught lessons and blah, blah, blah. That's kind of what he was in. Like he was always he wasn't the bad guy. He was always the good guy, but he was always like needed to learn to be a bit more humble.
He needed to be tamed.
Tamed. Yeah, that's the word. So I guess that is a Tom Cruise-ism where he was young, dumb and full of stuff.
Fun.
And that has evolved over time because not even Tom Cruise can play the young fool.
I wonder if do you think he's at the point now where he can come full circle and be that older mentor position?
I think that's where he'll go soon. Like, because he's getting to, he's almost 60, 57 now.
Which is unreal. Yeah, it is unreal. To be honest. Yeah. That blows my mind.
I mean, he's obviously had some work. I'm like, so is everyone in Hollywood.
Oh, yeah.
And they still don't all look as good as Tom Cruise does.
Yeah.
And also can't jump over buildings and break ankles and continue acting. Yeah,
fit.
Yes. Oh, when in the scene after they banged, I noticed because I've got the Blu-ray. I don't know why this movie came out in Blu-ray, but like he's lying there and I'm like, wow, he has nice skin. And like, I can count the hairs around his nipples.
I know. Well, yeah.
Such high quality.
What? It's bizarre because, you know, you've got the whole thing and then you just kind of refocus and go, that's a hairy nipple. Why is this something that I'm now focusing on in a car movie?
I know, you go, I couldn't help it. I'm like, look at the nipple, look at the nipple.
Yeah. I do feel like, though, that love scene was a bit superfluous.
Mm. Oh, yeah. They always tack on annoying romances.
Yeah.
Like, it's a woman's job to emotionally ground the main character because he's a big dumb idiot and can't do it himself.
Yeah.
And
do you know what grounds him?
Mm.
Banging.
Banging, yeah. Banging, and suddenly she's like, I care for you. And he's like, well, I better rein myself in as a tiny little bit. So.
Wow. Someone cares for me?
Yeah. Oh. No, me? Okay. So I think we're at that point now where we can rate this movie.
Ooh.
I will go first. So once again, I have forgotten to think of this in advance. We are going to rate it by thinking of something from the movie and rating it out of 5 of those things. All right. So I'm going to rate this movie... I mean, it's an enjoyable. I think if I was going to choose one or the other, I would choose Top Gun because just there's a really good volleyball scene where they're all mostly naked.
Oh, well, yeah.
If they had that in this movie, maybe I would change my mind. So I'm just going to go for 2.5. All right. I've got one. I'm going to go 2.5 hairy Tom Cruise nipples out of 5. I liked it, but of all the movies, I'd probably even go... No, 2.5. I've chosen.
2.5?
2.5. That's... Oh, half a nipple. What does that look like?
Oh. Oh.
How's it cut in half? Anyway, what would you like to...
That's a reasonably low score. I'm surprised, to be honest.
I've got to write 43.
That's true.
And by the time this...
You can't just all go done, 5 out of 5.
I'm
going to
be like 46. Yeah. So, yeah.
I enjoyed it. So, you know, I think I alluded earlier that I'm not really much of a Tom Cruise fan or really much of a movie person. I'm one of those painful people. But race cars, yay. So I think I'm going to go back to the beginning where I said that in pop culture, NASCAR has this reputation of only turning left. So I think I'm going to give it... I'm gonna also go a half. I'm gonna give it 3.5 left turns out of 5.
Nice.
Yeah,
that's almost a whole circle. So
almost, like,
almost. Yeah, 3. Yeah. So 3.
Yeah.
Then you crash. So it's only half.
Yeah.
Excellent.
I pulled into the pits instead of crossing the finish line.
Yeah, that's it. Well, look at that terminology go. Awesome. If you like cars going fast, if you like Tom Cruise looking adorable, he's still got his little unibrow in this movie.
Sure does.
If you want to see a movie by the brother of Ridley Scott, Tony Scott, we're discussing how he's kind of like the home brand version of his brother. Yeah.
Still acceptable.
Hey, some good movie. He's done a few bangers. I think it's a really fun, easy time. And if you can get it on Blu-ray, do so you can count the hairs on Tom Cruise's nipples. Yeah. You can even see Tom Nicole Kidman's head, like.
Yeah.
Anyway, I have a very big TV and a very good Blu-ray player, so good times.
Lots of details.
I highly recommend watching all Tom Cruise movies this way.
And also this, I think, I really enjoyed that John C. Reilly was in this and then 16 years later was in Talladega Nights, which apparently was a genuine rip-off of, you know, like that's their satirical version. And I just think, wow, that's what a method actor.
What a full circle.
Yeah.
Yeah, and also he's... so young in this. He's only like 25 and he looks 10 years older. He looks the same, but he still looks 10 years older than Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think John C. Reilly's changed much at all.
No.
Just what a sweet man.
Oh, yeah. Angel.
That's Days of Thunder. Beck, if people want to find you on the internet, where could they do that?
If I don't live a very fast-paced social media life. If people are interested in the odd landscape photo and some bizarre Instagram stories, you can find me at __ Beck J. So that's BECJAY. Had to figure that out. And another __ Dubs _ into it. Give me a follow. Don't mind.
Your stories are great. You utilize the taking a photo of yourself over your story. That is one of my favorite things to do on Instagram stories. So yes, I think it's definitely worth it. And that's it. Thank you so much. Oh, hang on. I got to plug myself, don't I?
Yeah.
Tom Cruise Reviews on Instagram. Tom Cruise Review on that place. Twitter.
Get on the tweets, but drop the S.
Yeah, that's it. And my website, tomcruisereviews.com. Thank you so much for listening, and see ya.